When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
The reality we live in can be a very strange place. Most of the time, fact being stranger than fiction. How will we ever start to understand this reality we live in unless we question everything? Join me and a guest as we unravel the mysteries of this reality, one topic at a time. This is Icarus Boreali with Shane Jones.
What is up, inquirers, and welcome to the expanse of deep open-minded conversation. I'm the one they call Shane, and today for you guys, I have a show that's a long time coming. My very first event that I had ever done, I got the pleasure of meeting somebody that I've looked up to for a very long time in the community, Ron Moorhead. And I ended up having a little bit of a mix-up with the emails, but ended up figuring out that there was an extra period in the email, and finally got a hold of him to have him on the show. And it's an absolute pleasure. The guy is a legend as far as the Sasquatch community goes, with his quantum Bigfoot theory. And of course, the legendary Sierra sounds that were recorded by Ron Moorhead in his back in 1971. And for anybody that hasn't heard those, I will make sure that I play just a quick clip in the middle of this intro leading into the show, or during the show, of course. But for anybody that's been in the community for a while, I'm sure you're fully familiar with what the Sierra sounds are. But this one, of course, is probably one of my favorite interviews I've ever done on the show, so I don't want to take up too much time before we get into this one. So before we get into it, I have to do some quick news and updates and front of house. As I've said on the last few shows, the Open Minds Media merch store has some new designs, and I do have some new ones on the way that you guys can check out soon, but of course, keep updated on that, and I'm sure you guys will hear me talk about it on the show or post on social media when those new designs come out. But as of right now, of course, I got four new, relatively recent designs. If you guys want to go and check them out, there is a link, of course, right at the top of the show description. And of course, if you guys want to get 10% off at checkout, you guys can use code CRYPTID10. If you have an encounter you guys would like to report, you guys can report those to OMMEncounterReports@outlook.com. Doesn't matter how big, doesn't matter how small, whether it's cryptid, extraterrestrial, UFO, paranormal, any kind of weird phenomenon, I would absolutely love to hear about it. And you guys can either, one, type out your encounter and send it to me through, again, email, which is OMMEncounterReports@outlook.com, or you guys can take a voice recording of yourself through your phone and send it to me through email, of course. And if you guys are interested in doing that, I can always play it in the beginning of the show and, of course, give you guys a big shout out. And if you guys want to stay up to date on the show, you guys can always go and follow Inquiries of Our Reality and Open Minds Media on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Discord, and TikTok. And of course, that is also a good way to send those encounters to me is through social media. And if you guys enjoyed this show, please don't forget to go and check out my other show, Bizarre Encounters, that I do with my awesome co-host, Oren. We recently did an episode where I fully explain my theory as far as continued experiment theory goes, kind of diving into what could possibly be some part of the UFO phenomenon and abduction phenomenon. And we also do another interesting sideshow off of that, which is Bizarre Inquiries, where we've kind of made that our catch-all, where, you know, we're reading articles on there, making some jokes about it and stuff, discussing them. We're taking in video clips. We're taking in questions and stuff. And honestly, just letting our minds wander, having some fun with it. If you guys have anything that you guys would like to submit for that show, you guys can do so through social media, email, any of the ways you guys want to get a hold of me. And if you guys want to support the show, a couple different ways to do so. Of course, I already mentioned the Open Minds Media merch store. Second to that, you guys can also leave a review or rating for the show on iTunes or Spotify. Preferably on iTunes if you guys can, because of course I love being able to read those 5-star reviews and give you guys a big shout out on the show. And that will keep boosting the show up in the algorithm and make it so that I can get more awesome guests on the show and we have more people that are coming in and sharing their experiences. And the third way you guys can support the show is through the Open Minds Media Patreon. Over there you'll get this show, you'll get Bizarre Encounters, and you'll get Bizarre Inquiries. And I have some other side stuff in the work that I'm trying to do to expand that over there. There is a $1 tier, a $3 tier, and a $5 tier. All of them have a 7-day free trial if you guys want to come and check them out. And there is also a sponsorship tier. But if anybody is interested in sponsoring the show, you guys can go over there and read a little bit more about it. Or you guys can get a hold of me through email, which is inquiriesofourrealitypodcast@outlook.com. And every single thing that I mentioned is all available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, let's get into the show. Please welcome to the show, the legendary Ron Moorhead. How's it going today?
Hi there. How are you doing, Shane?
Not too bad. Absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Long time coming, actually, because the very first event that I had ever vended, you were actually one of the speakers there, and we had a little bit of a conversation back then, but I never ended up getting around to being able to get a hold of you to have you on the show. So 3 years later, I'm happy to have you on the show, and it seems like it's going to be a great conversation.
Yeah, be fun. I'm honored to be with you. Thank you.
So for anybody that might not be familiar with who you are, which I'm sure most of the audience is familiar with who you are, why don't you let them know a little bit about yourself and a little bit about what you got you into the Sasquatch phenomenon?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was part of a hunting group back in 1971, and we experienced these coming into our camp and riding around. Actually, it was a hunting camp and had been since 1958. And the Johnson brothers, who started the camp in 1958, came out with a story. They'd been up there earlier that year and had these beings come around. They were avid hunters. They're really, this is 1971. And they came out and told the rest of us that there was some kind of monster up there. They didn't know what it was, but they went out there and saw this huge track in the mud, and they realized, plus the sounds, they knew it wasn't a bear or anything else. It's a hunting camp. They were always have guns up there. So it's about 8 miles in the wilderness, 8,400 feet in elevation in the Sierra Nevada Mountains of California. It's called the Sierra Camp. And I ended up, started going up there, and I started recording them along with others. We all recorded, was taking out little cassette tape recorders and recording these things. And the 1972, a journalist named Alan Berry got a hold of us, and he asked if he could go up there. So we let him because he's an investigative reporter, and he was responding to a letter from Ivan Sanderson, a cryptozoologist, and also he sent it to Peter Byrne, who had a Bigfoot research center on the West Coast, and Peter Byrne in return got a hold of Alan Berry, which was in Reading, working for a newspaper at the time. So he came down, interviewed us, and we took him up there in 72, and he started experiencing the same thing. So that's how I got started, and he ended up fostering the sounds at the University of Wyoming to get them studied to see if they were legitimate, because he was actually looking for a hoax, and he couldn't find one, couldn't figure out how anybody could get there and do what they were doing and still not leave more of a sign, any kind of a sign besides their tracks, and leave their huge voices and intimidate you a little bit, intimidated. So that's how it started. I got me on a chase to figure out where giants were. I was a member of a big church down there, me and another guy there, and And we kind of got into the Bible part, trying to figure out where the history of giants came from, because they're not supposed to be around anymore. According to Genesis, you know, they lost in the flood, but somehow, some way, these things are here. And when I go out on these conventions and talk, I don't try to convince people that they're here. They are here, and I just try to teach them a little bit more about them, because now I've been studying this thing for 50 years, been traveling the globe, been in South America, been into Nepal, Russia, Siberia, just looking into data that what might have something in common with these things that we were experiencing up there. Because what I found out and what I truly believe is they're sentient beings. They're not like an animal or an ape running around the woods. They have a thought process going on, which we underestimated at the time. Really, we thought they were just some kind of a lost species running around the woods that nobody discovered yet. However, they're more than that, a lot more than that. And we had a lot of things happening to us up there, which are very, very interesting, which we couldn't understand it. Just out of Newtonian physics, and it didn't make sense. How you hear things that aren't there, and how you experience lights that somehow they have their own mind going on. So anyway, it just got a lot of stuff. Alan Berry also had a master's degree in science, the investigative reporter we took up there. Excuse me. And he says, don't talk about the crazy stuff going on up here. He said, let's just keep with the sounds, because that's what he had studied. That's what we had proven by the University of Wyoming. There was no fun making in them, that the sounds were legitimate. They hadn't been slowed up, speeded up, slowed down. There was no 60-second hum, which would have showed pre-recording or re-recording. And anyway, they were represented an animal, according to the expert, and he was an engineer, electrical engineer at the University of Wyoming, Dr. Arlen Kerlin. And he said that whatever it was making this one little snippet he pulled out was over 8 foot tall. So that kind of says something. You know, they're big. We knew they were talking to themselves, but didn't realize how important that situation was. You know, they're chattering amongst themselves. Very similar to what John Green wrote about in Apes Among Us when he interviewed Albert Ostman. Albert Ostman said he got kidnapped by one and they were chattering amongst themselves, the family that he was taken to, held captive for 6 days, supposedly. And most believable, a lot of people do anyway. And so that got, okay, they do chatter amongst themselves, but in language, or are they just monkeying around? No pun intended. But anyway, when a cryptolinguist got a hold of it from the Navy, retired, teaching foreign languages in Missouri at the time, he heard of it by accident, 2008. He came out and wanted to interview us because he thought he heard language in there, and he's a language expert, cryptolinguist. And he'd been trained by the military. He's a two-time graduate of the Foreign Language Institute of Technologies in Monterey, California. And I vetted him very carefully, so he was shouldn't be disputed. According to the guy that wrote a letter back to me, he said, you know, if he's a two-time graduate up here, and he was, he's more than qualified to transcribe a language. And he says they have a language. And that's by the human definition of language, like we're talking now, which has sentient meaning, has morpheme streams in it, you know, which make up a sentence. Now, everything communicates. We all know that. We know dolphins communicate, everything communicates, either through pheromones or through some kind of gibberish or something. But only humans, according to Dr. Philip Lieberman at Brown University, only human primates have the linguistic ability to create sapient language like we're doing now. So to me, those 1, 2, 3 factors put what we were dealing with up there is within the human range, but it was very tall, very big, all of them. There was more than one. So there. Those that didn't know now know what I'm involved in. So this has kind of captivated me for much of my life. I'm in my 80s now. This happened to me when I was 29. So it's kind of been a role for me, a very exciting role. And I love it. I love doing stuff like we're doing now, talking about it, and trying to improve people's knowledge about what I've encountered. Because it wasn't just one encounter. We went back up there several times over the years. And the same family, we believe, same family, was coming back and messing with us. You know, they were chattering around there, cracking rocks, popping trees, whooping, and just doing things like that right after dusk during the during the evening time. And so we were fortunate enough to get glimpses of them occasionally, but very rarely. They're very elusive, very, very fast, and they chatter very, very rapidly. And the cryptolinguist is Scott Nelson, and he puts his name on the line for this. He says they have a language. And he was, like I say, responsible in the military for capturing codes or languages and determining if there was any meaning to them. And there's absolutely meaning to this. We just don't know what it is yet, because you got to get one to come in and talk to you. Ooga, ooga, there's a tree, and point to a tree. So that's kind of the way it's been going. Anyway, there we are.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Terms and conditions apply. People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Terms and conditions apply.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
And we are back. So let's hop right in. Just out of curiosity, you said that you've traveled around the world investigating different locations with Sasquatch beings. Have you found commonalities within languages or like differences within languages or anything? Because, of course, with people, it differs depending on region. So I'm kind of curious if it would be the same with like Sasquatch type beings.
Well, I find the commonality is that they're all elusive. They're all intuitive. As far as language goes, nobody that I know of ever recorded them in Russia or where they say they see them quite often. I've been into Siberia, into some caves back there where they said the wild man's been seen going into. So went in there with a couple of professors, but it was, there's interviews, people there from all over the world. It was kind of media event for Russia. We was on the Moscow News a week later, you know, so. But it was fun, and we did see a print. I found a print. You can't really verify something, though, when somebody leads you to it, you know, unless you got the, well, we had Dr. Meldon with us, who was forensic and footprints, and he couldn't tell by what we found in that cave, because it's a big cave, though. And really, as far as I know, nobody's ever recorded vocalizations of these things. They've reported screams and heard screams. And a lot of people have come to me and wrote me and said, I heard exactly the samurai chatter, they call it. And they hear it. And but they, most people aren't walking around with recorders. You know, they're not trying to do that. And if you're out there trying to expose these things, they probably are into it. Or they're a little intuitive about it. They know what you're trying to trick them. We tried to trick them with camera traps and stuff like that, but that wasn't happening. Much as we try, we just underestimated what we're dealing with at the time. And it was exciting, though, I got to tell you that. It still is. Get to talk about it and memorize it. One of my buddies is still alive, Bill McDowell. Him and I experienced quite a few things up there. And when just him and I would go in with supplies and stuff like that. Like we had some barrels up there we'd hiked, hauled in on mules and had them cabled to the trees so that the bears wouldn't tear them open. And that's what we kept our supplies in. So we didn't have the chance just to get away without taking the horses. We could hike in. It's a hike. But you know, if you're young enough, you're in good shape. You can do that. And I was in good shape then. But when you get to 10,000 feet and you leave the valley at sea level, you know, it's a little different. So you got to get used to it. But you do. And so when you could, we'd walk in. We couldn't do the horses because it wasn't convenient or something. And of course, the horses make a little noise too. So you got to know what's making. They never fuss when these things were around, though. These creatures, you thought they would. But when a bear would come around, they'd fuss, you know, stomp and tromp and all kinds of stuff. Anyway, we've had that camp we thought what was inside one time being tore apart out there. And this is one of the anomalies that we couldn't explain because it sounded like all our stuff was being taken out of those barrels and just thrown around. Looked out later when it stopped and nothing has changed. Well, what do you do with that? Could they have hypnotized us all? Because we're all at the time, all five of us inside that shelter. And they either had to hypnotize us all to make we think we were hearing that, or they have a vocal mechanism, which we've had studied, which is very, very expansive, very big. They can hit tones that we can't reach, and they have a voice level that's just out of, so we don't know how high it goes because we weren't recording infrasound or ultrasound at the time. We just had cassette recorders. So anyway, could they have been making the sound like our camp was being torn apart? I think they probably could. In fact, I think there's a lot of things they do with their vocal mechanism that we still have yet to discover.
I mean, just like a lot of primates, though, I mean, they got to find something to entertain themselves. So it seems like a commonality with a lot of Sasquatch encounters is that they mimic weird sounds. And maybe it's just a matter of amusement, because when it comes to people, it seems like more often than not, they're more curious than like agitated, which, of course, they do get agitated, but they're more curious than anything. So I'm almost kind of curious when they start making the weird sounds, if it's just a means of curiosity and entertainment for them just to see the humans' reactions or what they're going to do.
I think you're on it, because I think that's what they do. They toy with you. And, yeah, they can mimic your name. They can mimic your dog's name. I've had a lot of people tell me, well, I heard my dog's name being called when I was out of the woods, and he was home. And they hear their own name being called sometimes. And that's weird, because nobody else is around, they say, when that happens. So there's a lot of things they do, but they're messing with you, I think. And they are curious about humans. They're very curious about us and our camp. Why they dealt with us so much, I don't know. But they did a lot. We got hours and hours of recordings. So all of us, we were recording. So there's a lot of collaboration, whatever you want to call it, in the sound recordings. But the very best ones I put out on two CDs, and those are available on my website as downloads. They are smart. Don't underestimate them if you're out among them. I've got to tell you something else. I don't think they're all the same. I just don't. I think there's different types of them because I've been all over the world now, like I mentioned, with this stuff. They have different types of shapes in their body. Some of them have a sagittal crest, some of them don't. Some are bigger than others. Like Nepal, the Yeti up there is more or less like 6 feet, is what's been reported. Whereas here, we got them up to 12 feet. You know, and then you get up to Alaska. I was up there with a filming crew a couple of years back, and made by the Travel Channel. You know, they took me up there. It's trying to rehabilitate this remote village that they had to abandon years ago. And they said 15 foot tall. Excuse me. We got a cat the other day. Anyway, they were killing them. They were tearing them apart. But I flew over in a helicopter when they took me in. No roads there. And I had some suggestions for them. I think they were timbered heavily back in the 1940s and early 50s. And they were fishing it heavily, too, from the pictures I saw. And they were mining it also. So, well, I think what happened was these things, not like a bear, they just go somewhere else. But these things, you start encroaching on their territory, and they get upset about it. I think that may have what happened in Portlock, Alaska, when I was up there. So my advice to them was just go in with respect for the property and don't overdo it. Because when you go out in the woods and you're cutting their trees down, and there's a lot of things about trees, they just don't want you messing with them. I got a whole chapter of that in my new book, too. A lot of reports around trees, what's going on with trees. So if they were cutting all these trees down, which they were, I've seen that, areas, just acres and acres and acres of tree cutting. And if these things got mad and stepped out and started screaming at them, I imagine they'd have took a shot at it. That probably would have pissed it off, they tore an arm off or something. But they did mangle about 3 dozen people, they say, up there before they abandoned the village because they couldn't kill it.
I've heard about this a lot of times too, with like roadside workers and stuff, when they try to build like a new road through some area of forest that they'll leave at night and their machines will be flipped over and there'll be parts of the road ripped back up and stuff. And I've even heard of a couple of them where they've physically attacked or seen them attack, but there's been definitely sightings and a lot of equipment destroyed in the process of trying to build new roads through the woods.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Guadalcanal. There's a whole book about that over there, how they had to take a dozer away. They were mining over there. This is in the 90s. And they took the dozer away, but they left the blade there. Huge blade. Tons. And it had been moved way far away when they came back. And there's some huge footprints there. And that's in a book, too, which is interesting. You're right. They get really upset. Peter Byrne, the late Peter Byrne, he just passed away, and he encountered some very skeptical woodsmen that were clear cutting, and they didn't believe in Bigfoot at all, but then they seen one walking towards them down the dirt road towards where they were cutting, and it just scared them all. All eight of them seen the thing, and it just stepped off, and they reported to him, and he said, they're now believers. I've had so many reports over the year about these things approaching people that are cutting trees.
I'd love to dive into some of the tree stuff, but just a quick comment, because I was talking about the Alaska Sasquatch phenomenon too. It seems like they're always significantly more aggressive up north. Maybe it's because there's a scarcity of food. Also, that whole thing where everything, the farther north it grows, the bigger it gets. So, I mean, at least from like your experiences, have you kind of come up with any reason why it seems like there's a lot more aggression when it comes to the Alaskan or like the Northern Sasquatch?
I think I have a theory, and that's because we're encroaching a lot. I don't think food's the issue. They got a lot of things they can eat up there. I think it's like I mentioned a few minutes ago, they're not all the same. And these things may have been, we can get into what I think they are here in a little bit, but they may have been genetically modified to be aggressive and protect their territory. But then again, I don't know what they were dealing with up there. No one's around to talk about it because it happened in the late 40s. So I just said what I suggest is that you respect the property. And if they're bad, they'll come out and eat you. And if they're not, you can go back home.
And I mean, it seems like a lot of Native women go missing in the North. And I know a lot of people have theories on where Sasquatch comes from, which I'd love to absolutely get into yours. But it seems like when you get into a lot of the genetic testing, there's like the unknown male DNA with the known female human DNA. So I'm kind of curious if that's what the main phenomenon is going on in Alaska, is that they're taking the Native females to reproduce with, because they seem to carry somewhat of the same genetics to some extent, because a lot of the time people describe their faces looking the same.
Yeah, they would have 23 pairs of chromosomes like we do. But yes, I think that's the story about most all of them. They're the crossbreed. They've crossbred with the indigenous people, and they do take the women according to Native lore, and they're hybrids like we are. We're hybrids. Something made us. Something changed our genetic makeup and made us who we are. Some people want to call that God. Some people want to call it the Anunnaki. Some people say they're synonymous, because you really start looking into the spirituality of this stuff, it gets deeper, and that's where my quantum physics go, because quantum physics and spirituality are pretty synonymous, in my opinion. So I just, I'm on that track right now, because I think it's more important to study not the Bigfoot phenomenon as much as it is just who we are as humans and what's happening with this Bigfoot, but why it's happening. Why are we seeing them more and more and more? Why is UFOs being seen more and more and more? Things are happening in this daytime, this time of year, this time of century, this time of time. But this crossbreeding, I think, has been going on for eons, eons of time. I think, according to the cuneiform text, which is Sumerian tablets, over 10,000 of them, they're still being found today. First written form of language, it gets into the crossbreeding from these sky people, which came down from the sky, very powerful ones, they call them. They were big, and they took the women, and they call this the Anunnaki. And yet there's probably millions of Anunnaki. They're not all bad, but some of them decided to stay in our third density environment and take the women and crossbreed them and genetically modify the offspring, trying to get something more like them, I think. My opinion. A lot of people hold with that opinion, I think. The crossbreeding with indigenous people, according to Native American, has been going on for eons and eons. And I think Bigfoot-like creatures have been here since before Homo sapiens.
See, I definitely agree with that. And getting into the Anunnaki theory, I definitely think that they created different types of beings to do different jobs. And I've kind of gotten the impression that the humans are kind of like the jack of all trades, so to speak. And I've kind of wondered if possibly they tried to create the Sasquatch-type beings for, you know, in general, like labor type things. And then they created all these other kind of weird beings for different specific jobs, like maybe some of the weird flying humanoid type beings they created for trying to get messages across far places or to carry like supplies or goods from certain areas. But it seems like there's a wide variety that all seem to have some type of humanoid DNA. So I've always kind of been curious on where that mixing started and what the original purpose was, if it was, again, a matter of trying to create things for different jobs or just trying to perfect exactly what they wanted, and these were all just accidental experiments along the way.
They're trying to maybe indoctrinate their characteristics into this environment here on Earth. A lot of the animals here are hybrids. I think they've created a lot of stuff like that. This is probably, they've seeded this planet with a lot of stuff. And we're still discovering new species all the time. They created, I think, the Bigfoot for work. But I think that was backing up with them because they didn't care for that for some reason. But they created man. They created us according to the cuneiform text and in their image. And getting that, and it gets right along with biblical scriptures too, because I did study the Bible quite a bit trying to figure this out, but then I had to get further back than that, way back into ancient texts and into all the way into the cuneiform text, which is very, very, very exciting when you get into it. It's just how things happen. See, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of years. Now, we're not talking about 6,000 years like a lot of religions teach. And religion's really brought about by man. And it's all a lot of it's fear-based and a lot of it's controlling.
I think a lot of it's multiple perspectives of trying to explain a lot of the same events, because when you start digging into a lot of these ancient religions, it seems like there's a lot of commonalities between all of them, such as the Great Flood's always the example I use. But I think it's just people trying to explain what they were seeing in the best language they could at the time from multiple perspectives. And we've just kind of pulled everything apart when it's all supposed to be the same story, just from different viewpoints.
Yeah, they've put it together in their own conditioned brain, because we've all got our conditioning going on from the time of birth. So how they translated it and put it down is probably a little subjective, and you can make an argument about a lot of those things that went on, because it wasn't until 1100 and something when the it was 326, I think, when Constantine pulled in the four Gospels to let people start using that for their main religion. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then you get into all the way up into 1611 when King James brought in his 36 scholars, and all of them had their own parameters made. And they, again, it's all about control too, because they didn't want to, like the Book of Enoch is not mentioned.
It stayed in the Ethiopian religion though, but it got pulled from everywhere else.
Yeah. Right. Well, it was never in there. The Catholic Church didn't want that in there, because it talked about what we're talking about now, angels, and I mean, things that were, it got them out of control is what it did. And that's why the other religions started too, because they thought they saw it differently, and they wrote things down differently. But it's all a matter of studying and looking back. And a lot of people argue with me about this, but I don't argue. I just say, this is what I found out. You can find out something else if you want to, but you look at it deep enough and long enough, you'll discover a lot of interesting stuff that went on. It had been a long, 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 long time ago when it started.
We will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Terms and conditions apply.
And we are back, so let's hop right in. See, well, something I've been wondering lately is the whole Tower of Babel concept, if it's a little bit different than what we think it is, that when it comes to like Sasquatch, for example, they seem to have this telepathic ability. And I've kind of been curious if other animals in nature have this different means of communicating where they don't need to speak through language, so they just never developed that ability. But, you know, maybe people were starting to team up, and if there was this whole like Anunnaki creator race, you know, we were trying to build something to get up to them. They basically had to take away our ability to be able to telepathically communicate with each other, and then we all had to figure out language. But it seems like everything else on this planet has this ability to somehow communicate through their minds. And I kind of wonder if this is played into like the Sasquatch thing, that, you know, if these are the Nephilim or like the extra experiments, like whatever view you kind of want to put it in, if they weren't included in this group because they weren't mass forming and trying to rise up against the creators and live in the place that they lived.
Well, I think they are telepathic. I think everybody is. We are. You really get into balancing your system through the pineal gland into your heart and start listening to something outside of your third density environment. There's a lot going on that we still need to understand, but these things, I believe, are telepathic, and they can do things like that, but they can also shatter, because they do, and we got it recorded. But all animals communicate, just not with language like we do. That makes it so different. That really puts it in the, at least what we're dealing with. I can only talk about the ones we recorded because it's the ones that were studied scientifically. They have a human component. Or we have a Bigfoot component, one or the other. But I think all the attributes they were given, we've been given also. We've just been given dominion on this planet, and we don't take care of it. So that's kind of worrisome, I think, to a lot of the alien species that are here and that have been coming here for a long time.
So I know that in the original location, you weren't just having like Sasquatch experiences. You were also describing these like light orbs and different things that were happening there. I'd love to kind of dive into some of the weird non-Sasquatchy possibly related stuff that happened there, because I've been kind of curious about certain locations. If maybe, you know, you guys just happened to land in a spot where it just happened to be where a tribe of Sasquatch were staying, or if it just happened to be some type of special area where it seems to be a crossroad for multiple phenomenon. And when you see that, it seems to be in a lot of places that, you know, people aren't just seeing Sasquatch, they're also seeing UFOs, they're seeing orbs, they're seeing this. Like, there's certain areas that seem like they're just something special. And at least from some of the things that I've heard that happened at the Sierra location, it seems like it may be one of those weird special locations.
Yeah, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the Johnson brothers have been going up there since 1958. A lot of things happened prior to 71, but it's stuff that they just put off as natural, you know, bear or something like that, or they didn't, what do you do with strange stuff, you know, just, well, it wasn't until 71 until these things really started coming around the camp and messing with them. But Warren Johnson thinks one of them got burnt real bad on an old stove we had, we were assembled up there. And that's what started the ruckus outside and kind of startled them a little bit. But anyway, that's kind of blew it open, and they didn't shoot it, and they had guns, they shoot at it. They didn't break in the shelter at them, so. And they never did with any of us threaten us like that. So we kind of felt like they were glad that we didn't shoot at them, but we were glad they didn't come eat us too. So, you
know. Just kind of curious of each other on both ends.
Yeah, let's just keep our distance here and keep this flag ready. I forgot now what your question was, but.
Talking about the other weird phenomenon that's happened out there like non-Sasquatch related.
Yeah, I mentioned the one about the camp being tore apart, but that might have been Sasquatch related. I did see a UFO up there myself. Watched it for a few minutes, so I lost it behind the trees. It was huge. Whatever it was a big blue ball, a pale blue, and it just came down from the sky like a controlled moon. And that was happening when the Bigfoot stuff was happening. And we had one of the guys said he heard it. He came back early from hunting, and before I got there, he said he heard a herd of horses coming down to the camp. Well, we didn't have our horses. That wasn't happening. Sometimes I heard a clicking noise. Me and two of the other guys were inside the shelter. It was dark, and we decided to turn in, and heard this clicking noise out there by the stove, and it kept getting closer to the shelter. We had the door closed. We have a door which leans between two big trees, which is just another log. And he wrapped the cable around it and tied it up so nothing could, as if that would stop something big, you know. Anyway, this clicking noise got to the shelter, and then all of a sudden it was inside the shelter. We flipped on our flashlights and stopped immediately. Turn your flashlight off, and it started up again. And all of us were hearing it, but what do you do with that? Well, we didn't know. So we assumed just nothing. But a few weeks later, I was irrigating my ranch down in the valley, and I was out there by myself, and I heard this clicking noise right around me. I started looking around, where it'd be coming from. I couldn't find the source of it. And that was strange. I kept thinking it was something on my, it's the same noise I heard up there, like castanet sound, you know, but it was a rhythmic sound. And later on, I asked Bill McDowell, who was up there that same night, if he ever had anything happen while he was down in the valley, because he had a ranch too, another ranch. He said, yeah, I was on the field a while back, and I heard this clicking noise we heard up there in the camp. Well, that's kind of weird. It's like their energy can follow you, because you get into quantum physics and everything is energy, frequency, and vibration. So, excuse me. The question is, I've had a lot of people say they can disappear. Well, can they? There's a science that says they can, and that science is in quantum physics. It's been established basically by CERN in 2012, too. It's first postulated by Einstein, who said matter and energy are interchangeable. Well, that was established by Dr. Paul Dirac in 1933. He got the Nobel Prize for antimatter. And I don't want to get too deep on people here, but antimatter, that's a direct exchange between matter and energy. Everything, you, me, everything, at its most minute level is energy vibrating at a frequency. If you find the frequency of anything, according to Einstein, you can change its matter. But to me, that's how a lot of miracles are being done. You find the frequency of anything, you can change matter. Well, that was established in 2012 by CERN when the Hadron Collider, two particles collided and created energy. You can't see energy, though. but you can see particles. And they knew the particles were there. Anyway, it's pretty interesting. I thought that was really interesting. A lot of people don't, but I thought it was.
No, I definitely find it interesting because I kind of get into the weird quantum side of things too. And one main thing...
How do they disappear? They can find the frequency to change their matter and energy. There, I said the bottom line.
See, that's definitely one theory that I've dived into. And I've been also kind of curious on the other side if... It's two parts of the phenomenon. That one, there's the intelligent side that like full well knows what they're doing when they're shifting over. And then on the other side, if it's a matter of almost like timeline slips where, you know, they may be existing in a different time and they pass through these time slips and they just kind of exist in the area for a short period of time. And then the timeline eventually corrects itself. But then there's other ones that know how to do this themselves, and then other ones that may actually get trapped here and then form a breeding population and not necessarily know how to get back to their original timeline. I mean, when you start getting into the quantum side of stuff, I mean, this may not even necessarily be like another dimension or another reality, but even just another time on this planet that these things are potentially coming from. And that's why they seem to go in big pockets than small pockets, is maybe because they have this ability to go back and forth between, again, either different realities or different points in this reality.
Yeah, that's good. However, I think when they have children, they do that in our third density. They have to raise a child in this third density, and that's what they're doing. Like the child we had up there, one of them had a little nine-inch track, and he was messing with us. I think that's what got some of them kind of chattering around because they didn't want the little one coming in too close. I think they train them how to deal with humans and train them how to do what they do. So I think when they're born here, they have to stay here till they learn how to get out and how to go through these portals or whatever you want to call them. Because it's electrical anomalies, and we're all electrical beings, you know, too. You and me, both.
Just out of curiosity, too, I've heard of a few different experiences where people have said that they've seen like Sasquatch condense into balls of light. I'm kind of curious if that's a means of how they can travel through these other realities is through a matter of condensing themselves, or if it's like something where they kind of like phase out rather. But there seems to be a lot of connections with Sasquatch and blue orbs, and even people saying that they've seen Sasquatch faces inside these blue orbs.
Yeah, I've had that told me. The Johnson brothers had orbs about this big around, following up around their above their heads up there three times. And never happened to us. I've seen orbs up there, though, but never followed me around that I know of. But I do believe they're a form of energy. That was 2016 when I was up there, me and my lady friend, and we had a tent set up. And we seen this elongated light come floating by our tent. And what do you do with that? It's not like it's being controlled. Whatever it is a form of intelligence. But it has control. And we watched it for quite a while, probably about 3 or 4 foot long. It wasn't bright like it was shining, but it was lit, but it wasn't like floodlight or something like that. But that's just one of the anomalies. There's so many other things happened up there to us that, there's something else going on is what we're getting at. That's what got me into quantum physics. According to Al Berry, he says, whatever you do, stay with science on this. But he was a classical science, had a master's degree in science. And he didn't think this stuff should get out. But the Johnson brothers believe there was something special about these things. And I think all of us do. One of the guys stopped going up there. He got scared off so bad, he wouldn't go. And I haven't been up there since 2018 when David Pilates, he wanted to do a filming up there at the camp and interview me there. So we did that, and he did a real good reproduction of that light that goes through going through the trees that we witnessed. And what do you do with that? You know, all arm up there was a little .38 with a pea shooter, you know. Shoot a grouse or scare off a bear or something. But you know, I'm not trying to shoot one of these things anyway. And I think they know that our intentions are, and I think they can read your energy. We all have energy. It's called aura. Everything has an energy. And we ask how animals know how they communicate. Well, a lot of them communicate through sound, vibration, through just the energy too. A horse will know if you're afraid of it or not. And speaking of fear, people who want to interact with these things are getting out there in the bush and trying to research. So you got to control your fear. Don't jump up around, shine lights every time you see something, every time you hear something that you don't understand. I think that's your biggest enemy in the woods is fear. And that's your biggest enemy anywhere is fear. Because fear is not normal. I mean, I should say that. That's ridiculous. It is normal for us to have fear, but that's because we're in a third density. If you learn how to meditate and get out of that and reach into a higher density environment within your consciousness, you won't have fear of anything anymore. And I feel like I've kind of got that way. I don't fear things when I go out in the woods. And I stopped fearing when I was up there. In fact, I went up there by myself two or three times just to cure myself of fear. Not supposed to do that, but I did it. And I just think you got to control your fear. And the fear is just the knowledge of not knowing something. And when you don't understand it, a lot of guys want to shoot it and or kill it. Or we're a warring species anyway, so it's right in with our personalities, you know, just shoot it if you don't understand it. But no, I think we need to go out there and don't fear it. Just get that out of your system.
I mean, it's one of those things, too, that if you're out in an area where there's Sasquatch, the good news is you're probably not going to end up running into any other animals because they're going to tend to avoid that area. But even if you did bring a gun and you wanted to be aggressive towards these Sasquatch, I mean, how many stories have you heard of people trying to shoot at these things and them having almost little to no reaction to it? It's kind of one of those things where, like you said, you just kind of have to face your fear, because even if you had the gun, more than likely it's not going to end up doing you any good anyways with these particular beings. So you just have to see what their interest is in you, if they even have an interest in you, and just, again, kind of man up and just not be afraid of them. You know, I mean, that's seems to be the same with almost anything, is you almost have to show, not necessarily that you're the alpha, because obviously these things are going to be bigger in that situation, but at least show that you can hold your own and that you're not going to be scared of, even if they are something more intelligent than us, if they have something to show you, you know, these things have to be aware of the fact that they're not going to like break your mind or like shatter your paradigm or something like that. You have to go in open-minded without fear.
Well, it's like Fred Beck, you know, he claimed he shot one, Mount St. Helens in 1924. And he claimed he hit it dead on. It fell off this, I think it's a 400-foot cliff. They never could find the body. Well, it goes even further back than that. You get into Daniel Boone, and he shot one in his notes. That's in Ray Harwood's publication of the story of Daniel Boone. And him and his son were hunting, and they were separated, and he heard his son shoot, and he thought he'd better go over and see what he shot. And he found him over there, and a Bigfoot had a hold of him, threw him down to the ground. Daniel Boone shot the Bigfoot in the head, and it killed it. And he couldn't understand, his son couldn't understand why his bullet didn't hurt it. But he said, according to his records anyway, he opened up his chest, and there was a solid plate there. So it didn't penetrate the plate. So my advice, if you have to shoot one of these things because your life's threatened, shoot it in the head.
Seems to be with most things. I mean, I've been kind of curious if possibly they have like some type of thicker coating, like in the front of their head or something like that too, where you have to like hit a specific spot of the head where there's like a softer spot. Cause it seems like most, these things aren't necessarily primitive apes, but at least things that have that body build, they seem to have a hard front of their skull.
Yeah, well, like a pig or a bear, you got to shoot them through the eyeball.
Yeah, that's eyeball, or I was going to say try to aim for like the temple or something like that.
That's, yeah. Find the soft spot in your head, huh?
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. And we are back, so let's hop right in.
Well, let's not talk about shooting them. That's our warring species coming out. I mean, it'd be better if, you know, I just carry a sidearm with me, Terry. Now I don't hunt anymore like I used to. Just a sidearm to protect me from other things. Mostly, I got a hat band made out of a 52-inch rattlesnake up there, 9.5 rattlers on it. And that's what happens. If you see something like that, I always carry a six-shot 357 I normally carry. I got a 44 also, but the 357 is what I would carry. The first two rounds, well, the first round's empty. In case you bang the hammer or something like that, because if you're wrangling a horse, you don't want that to happen. And you don't want to snag the hammer. So I had the first chamber was empty. And the second two, next two chambers were birdshot. Just shoot out a snake load. I call them snake loads, but they're birdshot. The next ones were magnums, big bullets for the big stuff. So that way, if I run across a snake or something that, you know, a grouse or something you want for dinner, whatever's happening, you can, you know where your bullets are. And you don't want to accidentally shoot your leg off either. That hurts.
So, also kind of diving back into the Sierra Sounds location. I know you mentioned that David Politis went up there with the whole like missing 411 research, kind of mixing in a little bit with your research. And there's a lot of weird different theories that kind of came off to that as far as that stuff goes. But at least from like your perspective and the things that you've seen, do you think that it's more like the Sasquatch physically taking these things, or do you think that it has more something to do with the quantum interdimensional side of these beings or just the locations in general that these things end up going missing in, and just Sasquatch seems to be something that's nearby where there's these locations where weird things happen anyways?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think UFOs were involved in these portals which are around. I think possibly they can create their own portal with their Bigfoot anyway, with their vocal mechanism, and go out of our perception. See, we only see within 430 and 770 terahertz. That's our visual spectrum, which is the light's frequency. That's all we see. But there's all these other frequencies out there, and all these frequencies exist. But I try to tell people just how limited we keep ourselves in this third density environment. We don't smell like a bear. A bear can smell 20 times better than we can. A dog can smell 7 times better than we can.
Mantis strip can see 4 colors humans can't even see.
There you are. Yeah. It just goes on and on. We just don't have those attributes built into our DNA. However, they may be there. We just haven't researched them yet. Because once you reach into the and start balancing your chakras, which is the pineal gland, the heart. Heart has a brain. Your heart's always trying to say something up here. And it's called a gut feeling. And your brain has been conditioned from birth. This is right. This is wrong. This is right. This is wrong. This is what you're going to do. This is what you're not going to do. And it seems to want to override what your gut feeling is telling you sometimes, more likely than not. So I try to encourage people to go by their gut feeling and let your brain start getting in cooperation with that heart brain, because the heart is where the pineal gland receives from the spirit to everything. That's where we get our knowledge. It's an open pineal gland. The Eye of Horus, it's depicted in, all these depictions from Egypt and different places. And it's on our dollar bill too. But the Eye of Horus is looks very much like the pineal gland, which is right in the middle of your head. And it's also been known as the third eye, and the eye of its receptor. So when you receive information, it goes down to the heart's brain. And the heart receives it as a gut feeling. Like, don't cross the street now, there's a train coming, you know. Well, you don't see a train coming, but then you decide not to, and you back away a little bit, and sure enough, a train comes by. Just stuff like that. You know, he might say, go help Mrs. Jones over there. She needs help. She's old. She can't get across the street. But your mind says, no, let's go over here. Johnny John needs help, and you can make $100 over there. But if your heart says, help the old lady, go help the old lady. That's my stupid little example.
No, I mean, that's something that I've always talked about on the show, too, is just my gut feeling that just meeting new people, if I get a bad impression from somebody right off the bat, I usually end up, something ends up coming out about them later on, and it's never steered me wrong. So it's like one of those things that I can't tell people enough. And especially when you're in the woods, you're dealing with survival situations or Sasquatch, it's more important than any other time to trust that gut and not give yourself a second to get, you may not, that extra second that you take to try to think the stuff through extra might be that extra second that is going to make it so you don't make it through that situation. So you just have to run off instinct.
Totally agree. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting how our brain has been conditioned And we got to decondition that, or not evacuate the third density rally, but build on it, because our consciousness can get us up into a higher dimension while we're still here. And we don't have to die to get up there. And energy can't die, by the way, and we all are energy. Okay, that's quantum physics. And that's pretty much accepted. We are energy vibrating at a frequency. So when this body that we're in, this embodiment we have now passes on or dies, our consciousness, our etherical value will continue on to something else. Einstein wouldn't even guess on that, but that's where people get into reincarnation, because if you don't learn what you're supposed to learn in this environment, which is, here it comes, love and compassion. If we don't learn love and compassion for everything and everybody and situations, and don't treat yourself as a victim, you're going to have to re-embody into another timeline. And I like your idea of timelines too. That's how I think. I think there's been paradigms happen and timelines have been changed, and they all will gradually go in together. But it's time is linear, and that's only for us in our third environment. So once we get out of this, we don't have time anymore. That's where our fourth dimension of ghosts come in. I think they're hanging out waiting for another embodiment to choose to go into, so they can reevaluate and reconsider and figure out how to treat everything better than what they treated it before. We got to stop being warring and hurting. We can't keep hurting people.
Ain't that the truth? I mean, it seems to be something that you hear all the time with people that are contactees. I mean, even people that have had like telepathic communication with Sasquatch and stuff. It's this whole idea about elevating your vibration and loving nature, loving everybody around you, and stop warring, stop destroying, and assumably anyways. I mean, if we were ever going to get off this planet, if anything was going to happen to this planet, we're not going to end up doing it by trying to kick somebody off the ladder. We have a better chance of everybody just teaming up and actually working together. And I mean, once we stop living in this materialistic world, like, who knows what we're all potentially capable of. And maybe some of this weird phenomenon is just, you know, other things within reality that care about us. And they're just kind of trying to watch and keep an eye out on us to see if we're actually going to get to that point like the rest of these things are. And I mean, Sasquatch specifically, if these things are as ancient as they say they are, I mean, they've had the secret figured out for generations, and they could be just curious watching us, wondering when we're going to make it to that point.
Yeah, because they're not supposed to know. Nothing's really supposed to interfere with our karma, what we're supposed to react to. Like I say, we got to react to situations and all elements with love and compassion and with something good. If you can't say something good about somebody, don't say anything, because you can create that stuff if you're not careful. But I think there's a lot of things watching us as human beings, as Homo sapiens, and see how we're developing. And it's kind of worrisome, I think, to a lot of aliens who would love to have this planet, would love to see us and just all work together and peaceful planet. It's got everything that the other planets don't have right now. But we're destroying it. Why are we warring like this? Why do we want to kill each other like we're doing over there in these different places? And it shouldn't happen. And it just kind of hurts me now to see all that going on. So I don't watch any more of it than I have to see if we're going to die tomorrow or not.
I mean, even within the Sasquatch phenomenon too, it's double-sided that you have the other side that just want to make contact or just experience and just understand and know about these things. Then the other side of it, it's like their whole intention is they want to go out in the woods and find one so they can shoot it, and then they can investigate it and figure out about it. And honestly, at least from my experience, I feel like the best way to understand something is through observation, not by dissection. So I don't know why that's the top of some people's to-do list, even when it comes to this phenomenon, just doing the typical human thing and just killing something you don't understand, thinking that it's going to help you understand it.
You're so right. There's a lot of guys out there who would love to do that, but the chances of them running into one would be accidental, like the Patterson, you know, Bob and Roger, when they ran into that one. But then if you shoot it, are you going to kill it? And that's if you do accidentally run into one. But I think they're very in tune now to what guns do. And I think that they don't like human exploitation of them. And there are some that are watching out for us, I think. I think we have guides. We're promised that, and biblically speaking, we're promised to have a guide. And that guide will feed into your heart, to your heart's brain, and tell you not to do something, but you end up doing it anyway, and turns out you should have done the other thing. And we just got to learn to obey our mind, our heart, not this heart, not this mind, but get this one trained to reach out of its box.
The spiritual mind, not the physical mind.
There you go.
And I know this is kind of going back a little bit, but just out of curiosity, most people that were investigating Sasquatch in the 70s, 80s, they were very much so into like the whole flesh and blood concept. So just like what kind of inspired you to kind of start going in a totally different direction with your research, considering that most people around you at the time were, you know, just straight, it's flesh and blood, it's an animal. Like,
well, we were flesh and blood. We didn't think anything different, but couldn't answer the questions that they were popping up around us. You know, how they do this, how they do that, why is that happening? We couldn't explain it with Newtonian physics. So you have to get out of that 1687 stuff, and not get out of it, but build on it. You build on it with quantum physics, because that's how all things work, according to Dr. Christopher Blair at West Texas A&M. Everything from the cosmos to the atom works through the laws of quantum physics. Just our third density keeps us tied down to Newtonian physics, you know, how far it is. It's based on everything being measurable and predictable and physical, and it's not that way. Everything's not that way. We can travel faster than time. This no thing can in this environment. But that's a equation that's been built on a lot. So no, it can't go faster than light. So aliens couldn't be here because it'd take millions of years to get here. Well, you know, people don't understand that stuff, to be talking like that. They, first of all, when you're in space, time don't pass like it does here. And it's just your thoughts. I mean, my thought right now is faster than the speed of light. It's not like it has to go. Well, anyway.
I mean, it's assumably through space, too. I mean, they say that if you, whatever speed you push something at, is going to continue on at that speed, because there's nothing that's going to come back against it unless it actually crashes into something or hits something. So if you kind of take on the whole concept about like traveling in a car, that you start off slow and then you gradually build up, because if you just go from 0 to 80, of course you're going to fly back and you're going to feel the G-force. But if you were in some type of spacefaring vessel and you gradually got faster and faster and faster and faster, if there's no friction against you, I don't understand why you wouldn't. There would essentially be an infinite possibility of what you could hit as speed. And as long as you did it gradually, there wouldn't theoretically be much of an impact on a person, because you'd, you know, get used to that speed just like you would traveling in a car, especially if there isn't gravity pushing against you in like a space type environment.
Mm-hmm. A good theory. Yeah. But I do think you can go faster than light. And I think that's been becoming more and more accepted as we listen to these physicists. It's just a matter of bending time. And so we grade that on how long it takes a light beam to get from sun to the earth, which is 8 minutes and 20 seconds. And so therefore, nothing can go faster than that, because that's what makes our reality. So as soon as light hits something, it becomes real to us. And so we're actually 8 minutes and 20 seconds behind everything we're looking at right now.
We will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned. Hey guys, I know nobody really wants to listen to ad breaks on podcasts, so instead of actually listening to those, why don't you go and check out some of the sponsors and affiliate links for the show instead? Number one, you guys can go and check out I Know Squatch for all of your squatchy gear needs, or you guys can check out Cryptotology for all of your wearable cryptid favorites, or you guys can check out Snarly Yao for a fantastic natural line of beard oil, beard balm, beard shampoo, and body wash, all with an enticing woodsy aroma of smoky cedar with a hint of mint. And he also puts on a lot of fantastic events around the West Virginia area. So if you guys are in that area, make sure you guys go and check it out and see what kind of events he's putting on, because he definitely brings in an awesome group of people. And you guys can go and check out Big Ape Threads for all of their Bigfoot and cryptid related designs. And going into the affiliate links, you guys can always go and check out the newest sponsor to the show, Organite, specializing in scale model pyramid replicas, EMF protection devices, and much more. And if you guys find any pieces that you guys want to scoop for yourself, you guys can use code OMM for 10% off at checkout. And to all the paranormal investigators out there, you guys can go and check out the Chattergeist. It is the all-in-one paranormal investigating device. My absolute favorite. I use it every single time I go out. And if you guys have any technical questions about it, you guys can always go and hit up Barry over there in Dimension Devices on Instagram. He's the guy that programmed and developed it, so he'll be able to answer any of your guys' technical questions for it. And if you use the affiliate link, you guys will receive 10% off at checkout. And just a heads up, the company is based in the UK, so when you check it out on the website, it will be in pounds. But when you guys use PayPal, it will convert over. So don't think that you guys can't scoop one just because you don't live in the UK. And don't forget to check out the affiliate link for Sticker Mule to receive a $10 credit towards your first purchase. Over there, you can get a bunch of stickers printed, t-shirts, posters, all that kind of stuff. So if you guys are another podcast and you guys are looking for good quality stuff in order to print your logos on, Sticker Mule is definitely the place for you. And more information on all of those, of course, is available down in the show description. Let's quickly run through some commercials and get back into the show. And we are back, so let's hop right in. I mean, until you start getting into the quantum realm, until you're kind of talking about, which could be, you know, you can't have a physical form in order to travel at those speeds. You have to be an energy form, and that's the only way it's possible, because then... with energy, it doesn't necessarily need light to be.
I think that's how UFOs travel, like they do. All of a sudden, they just go out of your sight. They turn into energy, and they just go like that because they can't travel from here to wherever it is, some planet out there in a few hours. It would take them years to get to some of those places if they were traveling only at the speed of light. They have to find a wormhole or some other form of propelling. Boy, I'm getting dizzy. I don't know why.
You okay?
I don't know.
Well, that's scary.
I didn't
scary.
Eat dinner tonight. I should go eat something, I guess. Okay.
So we're about at an hour. If you want, we can start wrapping it up.
Okay. Yeah, well, what are you going to wrap it up with?
I always like to end the show with words of wisdom. So if there's any words of wisdom you could bestow on the listeners, besides, of course, trusting your gut, which you talked about a little bit, what might your other words of wisdom be?
Here's a word of wisdom for everybody. Know who you are and what you were made out of as a human being, what's been put inside of you. Be a very high frequential beings and know who you are and how special you are, because we're a very special race on this planet. And if you can understand that and get rid of your fear, you're going to make everything so much better for yourself, and everything's going to be good. So that's my wisdom thought, my shot for the day, is know who you are as a human being, made in the image of something very, very special.
Some great words of wisdom. And if anybody wanted to be able to read into your books, possibly tell you about some Sasquatch experiences they've had, where can everybody find your website at?
RonMoorhead.com.
Oh, perfect. Simple.
Simple. Very simple. RonMoorhead, 101Moorhead.com. And it's not like my email. My email's got a dot between the R, between the Ron and the M. But my email doesn't. I mean, my email does, but my website does not. It's RonMoorhead.com. You can find all my books. I got 3 books. Most recent, I've sold a lot of these. Quantum Bigfoots here. And that kind of builds on the quantum theory and how it revolves into spirituality. Yeah, there you go, and all that. But this one gets into that chapter you wanted to talk about, trees, and gets into AI, artificial intelligence, how we got to watch for that because it's coming. And it's a very, very important, too, that we understand what's happening in our world today. And I'm going to be at a conference in Illinois, in Mount Vernon, Illinois, on the 7th of September. And other than that, I'm on the broadcast like this. And I really appreciate you having me on this one.
Of course. I'm
not quite as bright as I usually feel like I am.
Oh, no, I still had fun. I still definitely enjoyed the conversation. And maybe at some point we can come back around, because I'd love to have you back on the show at some point.
Yeah, there's so much more to it, really. There's a lot more going on. What goes on with trees? Because if energy and matter are transferable, and they are, what do they hide? Do they hide in trees? Can they be hiding in trees? Is that why trees are so special?
Hey, if you want, you got to set up a little bit of a teaser. You know, after we finish wrapping up and everything, if you'd like to set up another date to get into that, I'd absolutely love to do it.
Well, I got something else going on tonight, too, so I better wake up somewhere somehow. Go eat something. Anyway, I thank you again for having me on, and I appreciate your comments on everything you said. Yeah. Very good.
Well, it was an honor to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. An honor to be here. I love to get this. All I want to do anymore. I'm tired of going out to these events. I've been asked to so many of them and for next year, and I just haven't been taking any because it's just, it's a lot.
Oh, yeah. Traveling all the time, too, and having to speak once you actually get there and stuff. And a lot of time they're outside and you got to stand out in the heat and everything, too. And
well, I most of mine are inside now. Some of them are outside, but I say that. But I like the inside ones and control everything better, you know.
The traveling in general, though, still beats up on you. Because, I mean, when you're...
When you're in the 80s, you got to go through... Because I have to have my wife or somebody with me to help me with my table and everything. But, boy, just getting around. You go through Atlanta, you know, it's the biggest airport in the United States. She went off today. She left me today to go see her grandbaby being born. Or just was born last night, actually.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. She got a little girl, and... she's heading straight for, she was in Atlanta for a 5-hour layover. But that's what you do when you do it on a cuff like that real quick. But I tell you, these overnight, I don't do overnighters anymore. I mean, not overnight layovers in an airport or something. I just don't want to do that. I don't want to travel. I just got out of the hospital after an operation. I had a surgery here. I was in the hospital for 5 days and still feeling a little weak from that. But, you know, I'm getting old. So I like to do stuff like this. I don't have to go anywhere.
That's what I was going to say. And as soon as you're ready to get off, all you got to do is just hit cancel. You ain't got to take a 9-hour drive back home or go to the airport. Or you're like, all right, I'm done for tonight.
Well, I wish I was done for the night, but I got another podcast to get on here in an hour. I don't like these really late ones. This is late for me, actually. Somehow, probably because I didn't sleep last night. Maybe that's it. Now that'll do it, won't it? Yeah. Okay. Well, good night, Shane.
If anyone is interested in being a guest on the show, having me as a guest on your show, sponsoring the show, or getting a hold of me for any reason whatsoever, you guys can get a hold of me through email, which is inquiriesofourrealitypodcast@outlook.com, through social media, Instagram or Facebook. Instagram is the one that I'm most active on, or through the submission forms, which are available on the link tree. One of them is for contacting me, and the other one is for reporting an encounter. So if you guys want to report an encounter, that is also an awesome thing to go and do off the link tree. And every single thing that I mentioned is all available on the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, hope you guys enjoyed the conversation, and I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody.
Reality isn't what it seems. I'm Dr. D's taking a photograph with a tractor beam. Is life a simulation or an astral dream? Aliens travel through black holes in different galaxies. Life is a bizarre odyssey. With a mic talking about philosophy. Well, Bigfoot is stalking campers. As a Wendigo walks through the woods of sharpened antlers. Using a Ouija board to talk to the dead like a necromancer. There's so many questions and not enough answers. So if you're interested in mysteries and abnormalities, tune in and listen to Inquiries of Our Reality. So if you're interested in mysteries and abnormalities, tune in and listen to Inquiries of Our Reality.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Terms and conditions apply. People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, With over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Terms and conditions apply.